Blog Talk Radio. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Lockhart Perspective. I am Felicia Lockhart. This is the Felicia Lockhart Show, and I am so excited to have each and every one of you here. Today we are taking a look back at last week. We had everything from the president having COVID as well as his buddy who was coming off of the heels of having it, and by his buddy I do mean none other than little Keebler elf Mr. Fauci. And so what we're looking at today are a couple of the things that we all may have heard, but maybe not necessarily focused on. In the span of 2 weeks, the temperature records have been smashed. Railroad tracks have warped. Energy grids have pushed to the brink and massive swaths of land charred, all while the global death toll from unprecedented heat has climbed into the thousands. Waves of blistering temperatures, wildfires, and severe drought and as are emerging as the weather phenomena fueled by, as the scientists say, global warming. Rivers are the lowest that they've been. The crops are wilting, and that adds to the food insecurity exacerbated by alleged war in Russia on Ukraine. With the Kremlin's invasion roiling energy markets, it all underscores the danger for delaying climate action and ongoing dependence on fossil fuels. Now, Mark Buchanan writes on Bloomberg's report, the global warming is no longer a problem of the future, he said. It's here. And you know what I always say, whenever I hear stories that are written in that manner, I always have to look at the fact that we do know that there is HAARP here, that there is DARPA. And those, you know, two organizations have the ability and the capacity to edit the weather in any way that it wants. So when I see it hot and broiling everywhere, I would have to say, okay, yeah, you know, one place, two places, maybe that's just a little bit of a, you know, coincidence. But then when I see every place everywhere and I have the knowledge of those two organizations being in play, then I have to say, well, maybe not. Maybe it could be a plan. Perhaps. I don't know. What do you think? The number to give us a call today is area code 515-605-9357. Again, that number, 515-605-9357, to let your voice be heard on any of the topics that we are talking about today. We're taking a look back at last week. We're looking at everything that's happened. And then there will also be a couple of stories that I think might be of interest. Have you been keeping up with the bipartisan situation, the alleged bipartisan January 6th Congressional Committee? You know, when we look at the entire thing as a whole, I believe that what we're looking at is, first of all, for the most of us, to include myself, I'm glad I don't have anything to do with politics anymore personally. But I do, as a part of what I do, and as a part of, you know, what my vocation is, I share it with you. I give my opinion, but it's always going to come from a point of the understanding of enlightenment. Whatever I've been enlightened to know or to see, I'm definitely going to talk to you about it from that standpoint, but never from the standpoint of not having any concrete documentation. We've got to have that. So let's look at the bipartisan January 6th congressional meeting. Now, they have the committee has documented a vindictive and erratic Donald Trump, who refused aides, please, over more than 3 hours to call off the mob attacking the U.S. Capitol. I have to stop here because I believe there are so many things that are for us to just have our opinions, and then there are so many things for us to, you know, to say. And the bad part about that is once we start looking into this kind of stuff, what we find and what we discover is that a lot of these things were planned. it's actually painful to say it. It's actually very painful to say it. Even while reading this, when you have seen some of the documentation and some of the evidence that we've all quite possibly seen, it does make your blood boil just a tinge, just a bit, right? Just a smidge. And so when I see that, I look and I say, well, man, you know, that's part of the reason why I don't have anything to do with any of it anymore. Because the way that I see it is, you know, you get to going and then you're in a totally different direction. You're in a totally different direction, especially if you believe it the way that people want you to. So I will always interject and say something just to draw you back to the present. So in any case, they have painted a Donald Trump who had refused the aides pleas over more than 3 hours. So when you say they pleaded with him, that means they were begging with him. They were imploring him, please, please, please don't do this. Please stop. Okay? Please make it stop. So Trump was unmoved, as they said, as he watched the violence and must be prosecuted for an attempted coup. This comes from Timothy O'Brien. He wrote this in the Bloomberg opinion. My question, where is the outrage for some of the things that you know on paper did happen? Most of the testimony that I was able to glean was all based on hearsay, somebody else saying it. And then the guys that was said to have said it said, that never happened. But we don't look at that. That's a problem. Another thing that we're looking at for this past week is the prices of housing. Now, remote work and political rancor and a strong dollar have spurred a wave of Americans to move to Europe. Our dollar is not strong at all. But because they keep printing it, I guess that's the reason why they want you to believe it is. The more they print, the higher the inflation. But I digress. Expats are buying up homes in smaller cities and towns, benefiting from the new visa programs to attract investment. The outlook for home affordability in the United States is poised to hit lows. Last seen before the financial crisis, the S&P Global Rating predicts. We also have the drone revolution. It has been slow to materialize in part because of congestion, millions of drones competing in already crowded skies. NASA and the FAA have been collaborating since 2017 on new rules for using United States airspace. Done wrong, the lives could be lost. Done right, the system could mark the biggest evolution in U.S. transportation since the interstate highway system. Why do they want you to depend on drones for delivering? Why? Well, because eventually they're going to make sure that everybody has an electric car, but I guarantee you the prices won't be such that you and I could afford one, just regular standard people, not that we would really want one. But then what happens when you are forbidden from purchasing, you know, or even using your original vehicle that does run on gas? So if you're for voting, if it's for voting for you to have a gas powered vehicle, and then the electric vehicles are unattainable because clearly having to want it start in 2030 and looking at where we are right now, then we will most assuredly know that the infrastructure is not there to push something in the handful of years that we have left to get to 2030. So where are all the people who are driving the regular cars going to go? Well, they're going to sit at the house, hence the drone revolution. The drone revolution. You know, even though they say that it's been slow to materialize, they've got the infrastructure already and prepared for that. If you remember a few years ago, they made sure that only the ones that they knew about could go into a certain height or a certain distance up. Excuse me. They made sure of that because they know that they were going to allow everybody to have George Jetson's life. Imagine George Jetson's life with all of those crafts flying around. And all the crafts that you see in George Jetson's life are literally akin to today's drone. Well, you go everywhere with that drone. You're sitting at the house doing your work. So because you couldn't afford to get that electric car or your gas-powered vehicle, your combustible engine vehicle is now outlawed. So you have nothing to do. Well, they don't want a lot of stuff on the streets, but they definitely are going to allow the drones to use the U.S. airspace. So that way you can get everything you want and everything you need. If you remember a few years ago, they actually tracked that down to see exactly, they tacked it down to see how Amazon would fare utilizing the drones. Do you remember that? Yeah, they did that a few years ago. They made sure that Amazon was able to get in and out and deliver packages quickly. I have not seen that since then. I haven't seen it. However, it did exist. So I don't know what's going on with it now. So that's amazing that now we're looking at them really sharpening up the drone airways. And it's no secret why. No secret at all. So did you see anything about the mining sinkholes that swallowed up a gold town? Swallowed up an entire gold town. Well, let's get into it. Deep in the lush forests of southern Ecuador, in a cloud-covered village perched on the western edge of the Andes, a hole opened in the earth one night late last year. Small at first, it began to slowly expand, and over the course of an hour that evening, proceeded to swallow huge chunks of cobblestone roads in the historic center of Zaruma. Panic spread among the residents there. They fled their homes. Grand, early 19th century structures, beautiful homes, bathed in tropical pastels, and they all scurried to safety. Word of the commotion quickly reached Gladys Gomez. She was across town with her daughters when the phone rang. The voice on the line was frantic. Gomez's home was in danger. So, too, was her elderly father right next door. She hit the gas on her Chevy SUV and muscled up and down Zaruma's windy mountain roads as fast as she could. She arrived to find the neighbor carrying her father out of his home just as the sinkhole was closing in. The three of them ducked into a little market down the street where they watched on in stunned disbelief as his home wobbled and then in a flash plunged deep into the earth. Gomez says, at that point, I passed out. The sinkhole measured some 90 feet across and 100 feet deep. It would consume two other homes that night and leave scores more, including Gomez's, uninhabitable. It is the product of one thing and one thing only, gold mining. Zaruma is loaded with bullion, rich rock. Some of the best in the world, and for over 1,000 years, long before even the Incas arrived, humans have been digging up the earth to pull it out. There are so many tunnels and branches and offshoots that no one, not even the country's top engineer on the job, Ivan Nunez, knows where they'll all go. But what Nunez and everyone else in town knows or does know is this. Ever since the price of gold started skyrocketing earlier this century, illegal mining has exploded. And as it did, the underground tunnels took on a markedly more precarious feel. The Sabaleros, or the swashbucklers as they are known, and all of Zarumba, pay little attention to structural integrity and lots of attention to tapping into the richest veins around, even if it means digging right under a school or a hospital or a home. When the sun came up that next day in December, scope of the problem came into fuller view. The Sabaleros had dug a branch that shot upwards from a horizontal tunnel. The branch came within 20 feet of Gomez's house. Nunez, who has been tasked with concocting a plan that will end the illegal mining and stabilize the ground under Zarumba, sounds daunted at times by the magnitude of the assignment. Quote, it's out of control, he says. Across much of the developing world, authorities offer a similar lament. The value of gold and all sorts of other metals, copper, cobalt, silver, is just too high for outlaw miners to pass up, especially after the rally that marked their ascent at the start of the century, which was supercharged by the easy money policies the global central bankers have pushed through throughout the pandemic. Miners are wreaking havoc in Mali, Kenya, and the Congo, stunting the size of harvests and funding rebel armies. And in the South American region, those countries, all around Ecuador, they're raising forests, spilling tons of mercury into Amazon rivers, and destroying habitats. Continent vast mineral wealth coupled with the extensive organized crime, the whole network, make a growling hotbed, a growing growling hotbed of such activity. In Zarumba, gangs loosely affiliated with Mexican cartels control some of the mines. All of this has caught the attention of international authorities. In April, Interpol released a statement warning about the surge in illegal mining after 6 years earlier. It had estimated the industry had reached about $48 billion globally. It hasn't officially updated those figures yet, but noted that in its April release that the spike in gold prices and the growing presence of gangs, especially in Latin America, were accelerated. They were the ones who accelerated the trend. Gaston Schulemeister, who's head of the Organization of America's States Anti-Crime Department, calls this combination of forces the perfect storm. He says, quote, the growth of the illegal mining phenomenon in the region in the recent years is clear, and that growth has occurred in parallel with other organized crime activities such as drug trafficking, smuggling, and corruption. Now, when you hear that story, you just think, oh, well, there's just a bunch of smugglers. But if you remember when we look back at last week, we find that there are only, as far as on this side of America, because that's South America, here in the United States, as an example, we only have one mine that does have any of the cobalt, any of the other things, you know, to include some small portions of gold. We only have one, and that's owned in part, halfway owned, by a company that comes out of China. So let's get this right. All of the organized crime guys are the ones that are going through places like Ecuador and other ports of the world, such as the Congo. Who do you think are commissioning those guys to do it? Since we found out that China owns the majority of all of the mines that they've gone over and absconded. Who do you think they're doing this for? Who is the highest bidder? Yeah. So that's that. Now, I want to look at law enforcement. I definitely want to look at law enforcement. I want to look at the reason why there are a bevy of, and this is very quiet. We've seen a couple, but if we really focus, we will see that there are several police departments that are now just walking out in total, just completely leaving altogether. And the question is, why? Think about that. Why? Why are they all leaving? Why are people running away? What is really going on? First, it was defunding the police. And when they found that enough of the citizenry was not agreeing with that, well, then they start to do a little bit of agitating. Yeah, they do. They start doing a little agitating. And I want to look at this entire police force. You know, there was a couple of them. One took off in, well, I guess we'll start as most recent. I guess that's what we'll do. We can start as recently as 2021. Let's look at that one. Well, the most recent for us anyway is definitely going to be the one that we just saw. Now, some say that the purpose for this individual group of folks leaving was because of their new person that handles the area. But let's take a look back. The entire police department walks out in this small Missouri town. Now, this was dated in December, so, you know, the end of last year. But I found some stories that go back even as far as 2018, when the climate began to change and they began to see that they were not free to do what they were supposed to do. The bad part is that there was enough bad guys out there that really ruined it for the good cops. But anyway, Oreck, Missouri, the entire police department, including the police chief in a small Missouri town, has quit. An official told the Five on Your Side, a reason as to why they all walked off the job has not been given. The town of Oreck has been without its police force for a month, as reported earlier this week. The NBC affiliate in Kansas City, Oreck, they said that there was no real reason. They had not been given a reason. But that 30 miles, it's just 30 miles away from Kansas City. Now, that's not very far. That's what, half an hour if it's highway. So the town only has about 880 people, and that's according to the town's website. Quote, the chief resigned, as did the other full-time officer and the part-time officer as well, a city official said in a statement. No notice was given or complaints lodged with the board or the mayor or any officer before this action was undertaken. They are employees at will, and they have the right to resign their positions at any time. And that's what they chose to do. While the town figures out what to do, they have reached out to the sheriff's office in Rays County to help with patrols. And the city official said that the deputies will be compensated by the city for patrolling Oreck. They'll be able to enforce city ordinances as well as state and county violations. Calls to the 911 during the publication of this story were answered by Ray County Sheriff's Department. City official said, they said, quote, the city, its mayor, and its board of aldermen are confident that there will be no significant lapse in coverage and or any increase in crime that will not be charged or fully prosecuted as it has been in the past. Now, that was in Missouri, right? All right, well, let's just take a look at just recently in North Carolina, an entire police department, as we take a look back at last week, an entire North Carolina police department resigns after the new town manager was hired. An entire, not just a few people, the whole kit and caboodle. The police officers and other officials in a small town of Kinley have submitted mass resignation letters citing stress, a hostile working environment, and an inability to continue the department's long-term betterment projects. In a letter to the town manager, Justine Jones, police chief Josh Gibson expressed regret toward the negative changes that he felt were occurring in the department. In my 21 years, he says, at the Kinley Police Department, we've seen ups and downs, but especially in the last 3 years, we have made substantial progress that we had hoped to continue. However, due to the hostile working environment now present in the town of Kinley. I do not believe the progress is possible, he wrote. Neither the police department nor Jones has been willing to speak to the media on the nature of these complaints, local outlets reported. Gibson's letter was only one of several resignations that were made publicly available to them after the mass exodus. Quote, "It is with a heavy heart that I take this action. I've been with the town since 2004 and fully expected to finish my law enforcement career with the town of Kinley. And unfortunately, there are decisions being made that jeopardize my safety and make me question what the future will hold for a Kinley police officer," wrote Officer G.W. Strong. While all others addressed their resignations to Gibson, the police chief himself submitted his to Jones. Jones was just hired as the town manager last month and is serving in various, she used to serve in various local government positions, which tells me she's a floater. And as a floater, it looks like she's on somebody else's payroll. And I am saying this very confidently. It's something not right about what's gone on with her. But then again, she cleared the entire dance floor. The entire dance floor. So it goes on to say that Jones has dedicated her career to public service over the past 16 years, during which she worked in progressively, keyword, responsible positions with local governments in Minnesota, Virginia, South Carolina, and North Carolina. The town wrote in a statement, she began her municipal career as the executive assistant to the city manager and the National Urban Fellow in the city of Norfolk, Virginia. There's something about this chick. She sounds very progressive. I don't know all the particulars, but I will look. But we're just doing a look back right now. Police leadership and active duty officers were joined in the resignation by other officials. Quote, I have truly enjoyed working for the town for the last 4 years, but due to the current situations and the stress here at the work, my work area lately, my main concern is my health, and right now I need to focus on my well-being. The work area is very hostile, and I will never let myself be around that kind of atmosphere, wrote Christy Thomas, a utility worker for the town of Kinley. Some outgoing government employees kept their messages curt and to the point, including the two clerks that were in the town. Well, one in particular, Sharon Evans. She said, quote, I'll be retiring sooner than I planned. This is my 2 weeks notice. As of today, I can no longer work under these stressful conditions. So what is this telling me? That they are looking for a class action suit. And they are looking to break the piggy bank. The whole entire kitty is going to get shattered into 1,000 pieces. They're going to break it. They're going to take it. They're going to sit down, and they're going to run. Coming up on the bottom of the hour, this is Felicia Lockhart. This is the Lockhart Perspective. And to call in, all you'd have to do is dial 515-605-9357 to be a part of the show. We're going to be ending here in about half an hour. So, just sit back and relax. And if you have anything that you'd like to add, all the lines are right now. They're all open. Again, that number is 515-605-9357. This is the Lockhart Perspective.
Lockhart Radio.
And we're back. So let's see, caller 804-855, have you anything to add today?
How you doing today, Ms. Felicia Lockhart?
Hello, one of my greatest supporters. How are you today there?
I'm doing all right. Just listen to the wonderful news again, or maybe not so wonderful, actually. But they are really, really like, they're really going all in right now. And I find it very, very, very interesting. It was a shooting in Canada, though, that happened. And just now, I do understand what's going on. I'm not oblivious to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like one of those things But this time they said they were shooting the homeless people. I said, oh, my goodness, this is a little bit different right here.
Well, you know, that means that it's the government.
that's the way I looked at it, too.
And that's sad.
I really looked at it like that.
Oh, I've got to hear you. I see it. Several homeless people are shot in the head and targeted in a mass shooting at multiple locations in British Columbia. The suspect is arrested. Several homeless people were killed by an active shooter in the city of Langley. The shootings happened just after 6 a.m. in multiple locations in the city of Langley and one location in the Langley Township. It goes on to say that the gunman, who is in custody, was described as white with dark hair, wearing a brown care hat overalls, brown car hat overalls with a blue and green camo T-shirt. Police believe that he was targeting homeless people in the city. Wow. Wow. That's
also
them.
It was a bishop that was robbed at gunpoint.
Yes.
And one other little thing happened. Oh, and they were talking about the DNA test, stealing your personal data. I had sent you a couple things. But I know what I meant to tell you. The other day, Kamala Harris was here in Richmond. She was talking about reproductive rights, and she met with, faith leaders. That's what they call it.
Well, what did you think about her visit? What did you think about Kamala's visit?
I didn't think nothing of it because, daggone, I forgot she was here because I was right there in that area doing an event. And daggone, won't no excess traffic or nothing like that. So I didn't even know she was here until after. Well, I knew she was here the day coming that way, but I didn't know where she was at located. I was in the same area and didn't even know it.
Nobody cares about her.
That's what it means.
Mm-hmm. You're cutting in and out.
No, I said that means you don't have no weight. I went on mute, but I just let you know. Won't nothing to it.
Well, tell me what you think about the former Chinese state media editor suggesting, let me get into this and you tell me what you think. The former chief editor of the Chinese Communist Party's table tabloid, the Global Times, suggested the country detain and punish U.S. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, for visiting Taiwan. China's government warned Tuesday that it would take forceful measures if Pelosi visited Taiwan after the Financial Times reported that she would travel to the Chinese-claimed island next month. Pelosi and her delegation will also visit Indonesia, Japan, Malaysia, and Singapore and spend time in Hawaii at the headquarters of the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command. The London paper added, citing people familiar with the matter. Hu Jintao suggested an aggressive and militaristic response to the speaker's plan to visit the island's country, saying that a war aircraft should enter Taiwan in retaliation. Quote, my suggestion to the Chinese government and military, if Pelosi visits Taiwan, PLA military aircraft will accompany Pelosi's plane to the entire island, make a historic crossing of the island by military aircraft from mainland for the first time, Hu wrote in a Twitter feed. Its significance would overwhelm the Pelosi visit. Hu took exception to the Biden administration statement claiming to have no concrete details or information about the planned trip. Quote, Biden is supposed to have the ability to prevent the reckless visit of Pelosi rather than I don't know what the status of it is. He's actually mocking him. If the United States can't restrain her, let China restrain her and punish her. PLA Air Force will surely make her visit a disgrace to her and to the United States, close quote. Taiwan, officially known as the Republic of China, is an island nation off the coast of Asia's mainland. Taiwan has declared itself independent of the People's Republic of China and has claimed a continuation of governance, revolutionary China. The People's Republic of China has long claimed sovereignty over Taiwan and Taiwan's strait, the relatively narrow strip of ocean between the island of Taiwan and the Chinese mainland. The Chinese military has frequently sent planes into the areas testing Taiwan's air defense zone. The United States doesn't have official relations with Taiwan, but has been stepping up engagement with the island as China seeks to isolate it from globalist or global institutions. What do you think about that? So another country is going to tell our Speaker of the House, you bet not come across this line. To me, those are fighting words. To me, they're fighting words. That's what I think. I think they're fighting words.
This is more banana in the tailpipe, you could say. Because, hey, I look at it like, hey, it's about to, if it's going down and the whole ship's sinking, let's get it on. Like, like mom and dad, like mom and dad said, let's get it on.
Oh, I'm losing you. Have a bad connection there.
No, until the victory goes to small.
And when I think about another country having the audacity to tell, the United States, hey, listen, you better tell her not to come here and that he should punish her. Listen to the verbiage just once more, and it will tell you exactly who they are and exactly what they're about, which I don't think a lot of Americans understand. Here he says, Biden is supposed to have the ability to prevent the reckless visit of Pelosi rather than saying, quote, I don't know what the status of it is. If the United States can't restrain her, then let China, he says, restrain her and punish her. PLA Air Force will surely make her visit a disgrace to herself and to the United States. Do you think that type of verbiage would have taken place under Reagan, under Trump, under, you know, I don't know. I mean, I cannot see anybody having such liberty to say this. Now, let me say it. I'm not a Pelosi fan. I do love the country that I was born in. All right. And I know a lot of people take it to me saying that, but I don't really care. I've traveled, abroad, and I've been to other countries. I've lived in other countries. And I have to say that for me, I like our country, what it used to be. So when I'm saying I don't appreciate China being able to say that and nobody deal with it head on, that's the part I'm talking about. The fact that this is our country, how dare anybody say anybody from our country can't go somewhere. And this guy just backpedaled as well. So did Big Bird in the yellow suit that she ran around in last week. 804-617, welcome to the Lockhart Perspective. What say you? Area code 804-617. You like how I say 804-617. I see you have
Mr. Turner. He might be on the road truck driving.
He's driving. Okay.
He's on the line.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that's brazen. That's pretty bold to tell somebody, you can't come here. You can't come here. Knock it off and don't come in here. And we got the rights to Taiwan. Don't you come here. Now, this guy happens to be retired from the Global Times last year. Who retired from the Global Times last year, but he has continued to write and speak for the CCP online. And on national events, the former editor rose to prominence with aggressive, mocking, and intentionally provocative comments on social media. However, a series of scandals and serious accusations has damaged his reputation domestically and abroad. Who was accused by a former deputy editor, Maggie Duan Jinto, of fathering children with multiple colleagues at the Global Times. He has denied the accusations and accusing Jinto of blackmailing him for his position at the newspaper, who claimed that Duan apologized to him the next day and recanted the accusations, and he went on to say that she had seemed to have been possessed and had uttered the garbage. Now, listen, this guy is apparently a piece of work, but he is 100% male in that country. Before we get out of here, I want to find out what you all think about the WHO finally declaring monkeypox as a global public health emergency. I'm going to hold my opinions, but I'm going to go ahead and read the story. On Saturday, July the 23rd, the World Health Organization's Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus declared the spread of the monkeypox to be a public health emergency of international concern, the organization's loudest alarm bell signifying the emerging outbreak. Now, to me, I think, I don't see it, but okay, we already know what it's about. It's about locking down everybody, right? All right, since early May, more than 16,000 cases of monkeypox have been identified across more than 60 countries. Disease caused by the monkeypox virus typically involves a few days of fever, lymph node swelling, followed by a rash, which can leave scars. Most cases in the current outbreak have been resolved without hospitalization or the need for medication. And as of July the 20th, there have been 5 deaths, all of them in Africa. What do you think about this? What do you think about him practicing and saying, okay, that's it. It's an emergency. You got a cold. You got a cold. You got a cold. Oh, it's an emergency. This is a mess. And it's all planned, man. They already knew this. What do you think about it?
Well, I find it funny because last year they were running drills about the same time on it. So now they actually want to bring it out and talk about it. But they were actually running the drill already last year in 2021. I think March of 2021, it was on Dr. David Martin. You can look him up.
Oh, no, I read it. I saw it. Yeah, I ran a story on it. I actually pulled it up, and it's on Headlines with a Voice, and it's called What is Truth? I did it there, and I did it on my other channel. But what my point was I can pinpoint and take you right to where it happened. I can take you and let you see the slides and let you see the clips of what they were doing and how they were practicing this thing before it ever came to fruition. And now you want us to say, oh, wow, look how quick he's responding to this. It's not going to be like that COVID thing. Everybody, look at this. Look at how quickly he's responded. Oh, this is great. It's not great. It's planned. It's not great. It's garbage. It's garbage. It's garbage. The same deal that's going on with the garbage with Elon Musk. Last week, the story came out that he allegedly slept with his best friend's wife. However, when you go on Twitter, out of his feed, he says, no such thing ever happened. Did you see that?
No such thing ever happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He said no such. Yeah, he said his words were, let me go over here and I'll give it to you, if they haven't taken him down yet, because, you know, they're suing the guy. They're going to force him to stick to his word. Vince McMahon also went ahead and said adios. A lot of people don't understand his significance, but I'm sure if they do a little digging, they'll figure that part out. Anyway, getting over here to Twitter. Okay, let's see if I'm able to get on over here. Yeah, he says, no way. It never happened. All of this is a bunch of hooey. It's all a bunch of hooey, he says. We were nothing but friendly. We were only respectful. I can honestly say, he says, that, you know, I haven't even been in the room with her more than X amount of times. Let's see. I want to let you see it right here. So somebody responds to him 3 hours ago, and they says, the U.S. press, like the U.S. government, is a corrupt and troubled institution. Corrupt not so much in the sense that it accepts bribes, but in a systematic sense. It fails to do what it claims to do and what it should do and what society expects it to do. Elon Musk responded to that by saying the media is a click-seeking machine dressed up as a truth-seeking machine. That's what he said. But yesterday, he made a comment that said he did no such thing. He says, I've done no such thing. We were just, all of us were friends. None of this ever happened. Let's see. Elon Musk, 2 hours ago, replying to Sawyer Merritt, says, yeah, that was Sergey and me yesterday afternoon. A picture is worth 1,000 tweets, he says. A single piece. Casting reduces weight. Greatly simplifies factory increases ride equality and reduces road noise. He's speaking now about one of his vehicles, meaning I'm not even thinking about any of this other stuff. I'm moving on to the next topic. So he was just with his friend the day before. 2 hours ago, they were together yesterday. 2 hours ago, they were together yesterday, is the picture that you see. So they are allowed to just do whatever they want to do. They're allowed to say whatever they want to say. They're allowed to just run off and have all kinds of comments about stuff. They're allowed to do all of that because they can. This right here is a clear and simple case of it. If there's no validity in it and, you know, none of this ever happened, that's a shame on the United States. Now, before we get out of here, I want to read this next story. Cannibalism has a time and a place, according to a recent New York Times piece that was blasted for normalizing human consumption. Can you believe this garbage? Yeah. Cannibalism has a time and a place, according to a recent New York Times piece that was blasted for normalizing the consumption of human meat. But there's a purpose for this. The reason why they're doing it is because a lot of these other companies are already blending it in. In an essay published in the New York Times on Saturday titled A Taste for Cannibalism, writer Alex Beggs discussed recent media involving cannibalism. A spate of recent stomach-churning books, TV shows, and films suggest we've never looked so delicious to one another, she wrote. You see these twisted demonic cabalists? Turns out, it says, that the particular C word has a time and a place, noting that recently published books and media are at an all-time high. Beggs cited several examples of this trend, including the dystopian Showtime series Yellow Jackets, which follows the lives of a girls' soccer team that crash lands in the Canadian wilderness where the girls spend about a year separated from modern society. During their isolation, the girls from the Lord of the Fly-style feral clans and resort to the C word. The pilot explodes, depicts, and traps teenage girls who bled out. Do you see the disgusting stuff that they're putting in the ether? They're putting all of this evil wickedness out there in the atmosphere so that it catches on to people. And folks don't even realize it. That's the part that really, really concerns me. Because nobody realizes any of this stuff. They don't see the trick. They don't see any of the stuff. They just let it go, and everybody just sort of accepts it. So everything from the WHO declaring that monkeypox is now an emergency thing, let me tell you, that's going to be the last little thing that I go back over because I want to drive one point home that I didn't mention. The purpose for them doing this is for them to, A, give it a new name. If you remember, they wanted to give it a new name. B, they wanted us to bring the highlighted fact that they claim that it's from homosexual lifestyle, all right? So I don't know why you got to lock all the rest of us down. Why? Because that's what's headed. They are headed to, oh, gosh, be afraid. Be very afraid. Lock down. Close up your doors, your houses. Don't go to schools. Go back, and they're going to do this crap all over again. But they could just jump to the bottom line, and that is, oh, go get vaccinated for it. Go get vaccinated for it. Everybody go get it done. You need it. You need to. Yeah. Lots of stuff is coming up. Lots of things are going on. But I appreciate each and every one of you all for tuning in with us today to the Felicia Lockhart Show, the Lockhart Perspective. I want to thank you all for tuning in, listening. Your support is unbelievable. I like the fact that there's a lot of people here, but only a couple of folks want to talk, which means you really do like listening to the radio or you like listening to what's going on. I do want to talk about one other thing before we hit the road here, and that is Pope Francis visits Canada to apologize for the church's role in the residential school abuse. Now, if you remember, we talked about this. You may have remembered we talked about this. And Pope Francis arrived in Canada on Sunday on a pilgrimage of penance to apologize for the indigenous populations for the Roman Catholic Church's role in the residential school system. From the 19th century until the 1970s, more than 150,000 indigenous children were taken from their homes and put into residential schools run by Christian churches on behalf of the government to assimilate them. Now, same thing happened here in our area of the United States, and there was a general that they used in the military that helped to run this and to fund this and to pull it out and do what they wanted to do, did the same exact thing, took loads of indigenous children, loads of people born on this land, and put them in Christian indoctrination. And that brings me to another topic of the fact that you cannot deny that their indoctrination worked, because people find any belief in what they are, what their group of people were believing, they find it as taboo. A lot of people don't want to look at where they came from and study anything that they believed in. They don't even know. So they look at Christianity as the end-all be-all. But get this, while they were enslaved, they were given this as the replacement. Well, it says that the schools were run by Christian churches on behalf of the government to assimilate them. The Canadian government admitted that the physical and sexual abuse was rampant at the schools. The Associated Press reports, what do you think about it? Yeah, but a lot of people are holding on to the belief system that they were sold or that they were given. That's why I think it's so sad. That's why I think it's really sad, really, really sad. So we're going to go on ahead and get off here, but I just want to tell you guys, thank you. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 2 o'clock p.m. Central Time, 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We meet here every single Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So if you can't find me on any of my other social media, it's because I'm over here hanging out. It's because I'm over here. Aha. So we're going to go ahead and wrap it up right now, but I do want to leave with the fact that, yes, the monkeypox thing is something to watch out for, something to watch out for, because it's something that they've used in the past and it's worked for them. It's worked in a very glowing fashion. They've been able to shut down whole entire countries. They've been able to shut down areas. They've been able to tell certain people that they're not essential workers. Meanwhile, everybody working at a Walmart is essential. Yeah, even though the majority of people that work at Walmart don't check your groceries. They work on the sales floor, and that's it. So those are essential people. Every Walmart, the thing doesn't go into Walmart. The monkeypox won't go into Walmart. Just watch. Monkeypox will not go into Walmart. Mm-mm, no, they won't. Meanwhile, Walmart will be selling off the last little bit of stuff that they got. Yeah, they will. Yeah, they will. Yeah. Yes, they will. Listen, I want everybody to know about our sponsor. Our sponsor is none other than MyPillow. Now, I sleep on MyPillow top. I have MyPillow pillows. I have MyPillow pillowcases. And I have a body pillow. And I use MyPillow towels. I want to tell you, I just got another order of the sheets while they were on sale. You too can save a bundle if you simply go to MyPillow.com and use the code Fefe, F-E-F-E. Yeah, if you need it, why not get it? F-E-F-E, Fefe, at MyPillow.com. You'll see that you'll find some really good savings there. That's your that's your special word, Fefe. There you're going to find excellent items such as the bath sheets, not a bath towel, a big bath sheet. You'll find down comforters. You'll also find his and her robes. Stuff for the kids' room, pajamas, lounging wear, things for your pets and animals. Yes, wonderful things for your pets and animals. Mattress toppers galore, even couch cushions. House slippers that I love. I love my house slippers. So just go to MyPillow.com, put in my code, Fefe, F-E-F-E, at MyPillow.com and save a bundle up to 66%. What a number, right? What a number. You can also get an additional $10 off of the items that you get when you put the code there on the website. So that's MyPillow.com, F-E-F-E-C-C, that's me. All right, you guys, you take care. And remember what we always say on any Felicia Lockhart Group publications, and that is that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Most High, the Creator of all. Take care of yourselves first, you all, and then I want you to remember to reach around and take care of somebody else. Until we see one another again, please, please continue to be blessed.